Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
As sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City! A 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime! Kansas City wins the game!
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited to be here with you on this Red Monday, getting you ready for Chiefs and Jaguars on Monday Night Football. We are going to be joined by Ben Stevens coming up in about 45 minutes. He is going to help us take a look at this from the gambling perspective. I know a lot of you plan on making a wager of some kind on tonight's game, so I want to help you guys out. Should you be taking the over? Should you be taking the under? Who are some of his favorite touchdown props, player over-unders on receiving yards, rushing yards, all of that? We'll get to that coming up at about 2:45. We also are going to take a trip to Jacksonville, Florida, to be joined by Ryan Green. We'll get his thoughts on Jacksonville ahead of this Week 5 matchup. There's a lot of things to get into in today's show. Before we do that, let me remind you of a couple of things. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. Number two, I need you to tell one friend to check out the show. I mean, you could tell two people to check out the show, but you know what? If you could just tell one person, I would greatly appreciate it. And number three, and it might be most important, be sure to stop by the other place. Maybe you're looking for a place to watch the game tonight. Well, let me tell you, there's a place that has incredible food specials, great beer specials, great drink specials, and TVs everywhere so you can watch the game. I actually watched football there yesterday with my friends. I would highly encourage you to go stop by and check out the other place if you are looking for a place to check out the game coming up later today. All right, these are the two things that I would like to get into as we begin today's show. This is going to be my message today to the Kansas City Chiefs. This game feels very simple to me. Protect Patrick Mahomes, protect the football, win the game. Now, you're thinking, that seems pretty obvious, but if you are looking at Jacksonville right now, they have forced 13 takeaways so far this season. There's only one other team in the National Football League that has forced double-digit takeovers. They have been elite at taking the football away. They have 9 interceptions so far this year. They have forced 4 fumbles so far this season. They have done a great job themselves of not turning it over. So if you are going to be in these games where you are pretty routinely winning the turnover differential by +2 and +3, I believe that is the biggest reason of how Jacksonville has been able to get to a 3-1 record. If you can protect the football, protect your quarterback, keep him clean, keep him upright, I don't believe that Jacksonville is a team that can beat Kansas City straight up. I don't think they're talented enough to beat Kansas City straight up. I don't think their quarterback is good enough to beat Kansas City and to attack this defense without the help of turnovers and creating short drives for the offense. So my biggest message for Kansas City is a very simple one. All you need to do is look at turnover differential. There are two stats that I think tell you who won the game, and you don't even have to watch the game. Who won the turnover differential? Who was better on third down? Jacksonville has done a great job of being very good at both of those things. And that's how they have been the surprise team in the first month of the season. That's how they have put themselves in a position where they are 3-1 and have a chance to win their division, because they have been so good this far when it comes to taking the football away. But this is not sustainable. I don't think that the Jacksonville Jaguars are forcing 45 turnovers this season. I don't think they're getting 30 interceptions this season. That's why I'm saying protect the ball, protect Pat. I think this is a game that you win. Now, it is certainly easier when you have your full complement of weapons. This team is still a couple of weeks away from getting Rashee Rice, but there were some questions about Xavier Worthy, who was a late addition to the injury list. So this is the full story. This is from Cameron Wolf of CBS Sports. I'm told Chiefs wide receiver Xavier Worthy, his ankle was a little swollen getting off the plane. So the Chiefs put him on the injury report as questionable as a precaution, and they'll see how he feels tomorrow. That was yesterday. Fast forward to today. Xavier Worthy is expected to play tonight despite dealing with some ankle swelling yesterday, per a source. The Chiefs will see how Worthy feels at the stadium to confirm, but the Chiefs expect that he is going to be good to go. So it sounds to me like it was just a little bit of a precaution, a little bit of a football injury. You got to put him on the injury report because that's the rules in the National Football League. But I don't think that there's anything to worry about. We saw his explosiveness last week in the game against Jacksonville. He was their leading rusher. He was also their leading receiver. Their offense just works tremendously different when they have Xavier Worthy on the field versus him not being on the field. So that is something that I'm going to be looking for. Is he limited in any way? Does he have the same explosiveness that we have come accustomed to when it comes to Xavier Worthy? Because again, if we were talking about firepower, we were talking about weapons, I just think there's more on one side than the other side. I think there's more on the Kansas City side. Last thing here, and I am open to taking you guys' phone calls today, 913-586-7965. I feel like we're doing an extended pregame show because we're off at 4 o'clock today for the actual Chiefs pregame show. This is a really, really big spot for Jacksonville in terms of being legitimate. If you are coming into this with some hesitation towards Jacksonville, I think that is very, very understandable. Now, I don't want to play the schedule game with Jacksonville because at this point, I think that things are just completely jumbled up. But you did beat Carolina in your first game. You lost to Cincinnati. Now, Cincinnati still had Joe Burrow when you played him, and they are a very different team now. You beat Houston. Have no clue how good Houston is, but I don't think Houston is a very good team. This is a Jacksonville team that also went on the road and beat San Francisco last week. Now, this is a very telling stretch for them. On the road against San Francisco, who could possibly win that division. They got Kansas City tonight. Seattle coming up on Sunday, and then they go to London to play the Los Angeles Rams. So we're talking about a stretch where you are potentially playing four playoff teams, three teams from the NFC West, and also the best team in the AFC West in the Kansas City Chiefs. So this is just a really telling, how good is Jacksonville? I don't have a clear answer right now. I don't think anybody has a clear answer. It's not just with Jacksonville. I don't have a clear answer on a lot of teams right now on the National Football League, if they're a good or a bad team. Again, everything just feels very jumbled up right now in the National Football League, and that's fine. It's early in the season, and it will become clearer as we progress and as we see more and more of the results of these matchups. But if you are trying to show the rest of the NFL that you're here, that this is a different kind of team, it is you go out, you play very physical against Kansas City, and while Kansas City is still a little bit wounded, Xavier Worthy having the ankle injury we just mentioned, no Rashee Rice, running game still, trying to figure some things out, this is the perfect time on a night game on Monday Night Football for you to possibly catch Kansas City slipping. Let's see how good Jacksonville is. Let's see if Jacksonville is one of those teams that can be legitimate and maybe they're in a position that they're going to be there at the end of the season. I'm not expecting that. I think Kansas City wins this game for the reasons I've been telling you guys. I don't think that Jacksonville is that good. I think they are a team that have been propped up by turnovers, and I think turnover luck always turns as the season progresses. If your defense and your key to winning is tied in you forcing turnovers, eventually that stops, and you got to beat teams straight up, and I just don't think that Jacksonville is that kind of team. We can take you guys' phone calls, 913-586 7965. We can read your texts as well. We got a lot of stuff to get into talking about this game. Coming up in about 30 minutes, Ben Stevens is going to join us to take a look at the gambling perspective for this matchup. We're also going to head to Jacksonville to take a closer look at it from the it behind enemy lines. Coming up on the other side, Jacksonville has one of the top five picks in last year's NFL draft. He hasn't really done much so far this season. We'll talk about Travis Hunter next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. Tune in Mondays at 4 to hear the play-by-play voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Our Monday football coverage is presented by Busey Bank, where they're focused on your success. At Busey Bank, they've been building business and growing wealth since 1868. You can learn more at BuseyBank.com. We were talking about the Monday night football game that we have coming up later today between the Chiefs and the Jacksonville Jaguars. I looked this up during the commercial break. Jacksonville only has 3 home wins on Monday night football since the turn of the century. They just don't get a lot of these opportunities to play on Monday Night Football. They don't really win when they get these opportunities. Rob, the last time that Jacksonville won a home game on Monday Night Football was back in 2011. Now, I know you guys aren't looking at it from this perspective. I completely understand. But winning this game doesn't really do a whole lot for the Chiefs. I mean, it's great, right? You keep up in the AFC West, and I understand all of that. It doesn't really change anybody's national perception about Kansas City. This is a playoff team. They're going to be in it to the end. They got a chance to win their division. I know what Kansas City is. This win does everything for the Jacksonville Jaguars if they can figure it out. We just don't look at them as that kind of team. Now, I don't think even if they get this win, it's now putting them to win their division or do these things, but it is possible. It's not crazy. It validates it. If you in back-to-back weeks can go on the road and beat San Francisco and then beat Kansas City, we maybe possibly have to take you seriously in the AFC. Now, I don't think that's going to happen, but I do think that that is a theme in today's game. I don't know if we know what's real and what's fake right now in the NFL. Buffalo loses at home. The Eagles have been real shaky for the last couple of weeks. Eventually, that Jenga tower collapsed. Like, it feels like right now we are just in the process of feeling every team out. It's like a boxing match. And in the first couple of rounds, there's just no winner. And you're expected to see the action really pick up once you get to the middle and late rounds. That's where it feels like we're at right now in the NFL. We're trying to make our determinations on teams and players and coaches and all of these things. Jacksonville right now is firmly in the, I don't know, maybe a lot of that stems from their quarterback, who is also in the, well, he's okay. Or maybe it's their head coach that we just don't really know a whole lot about. But I think Jacksonville, on the course of trying to be a brand name, so to speak, and to be a team and an organization that you could quite possibly take serious, it's winning these games on Monday Night Football for us to determine if you were a team that we really need to pay attention to. Or you lose this game like you usually have in your organization. Next thing you know, you lose this one, you lose 3 of 5. And next thing you know, we look up and you're an 8-9 football team like I expect them to finish out. But in terms of building a resume coming off as legitimate, Rob, winning this game will go a long way for Jacksonville.
I 100% agree with you. I made this analogy earlier in the week. I guess at this point it was last week, not earlier in the week, so I apologize. I made this analogy last week, and we disagree about how perfect the analogy is, but I think on a whole you'll understand it. I remember it was the day of the Royals wild card game. The Chiefs were playing the Patriots, and the Chiefs were coming off a playoff season where they had choked to the Colts, and they had Alex Smith, and they kind of started slow, and people in Kansas City felt like, hey, we're a good team. We have Andy Reid. We're not the same Chiefs as 5-10 years ago. And the Patriots were the Patriots at that point. And the Chiefs went out and just walloped them. And the conversation the next day on the national shows, whatever First Things First would have been doing that day had it existed, they would have been talking about, oh, wow, the Chiefs might be for real. Andy Reid might be building something in Kansas City. Like, there would be a shift in how people talk about the Chiefs because of that day. Now, I don't know the Jags are going to be able to do it to that level, and I don't know the Jags are going to become that team, but I think that analogy works because there was a chance for a team that has had playoff appearances and has had some really thin years to really change perception, because they have the bully of the AFC in their building, standalone game, Monday Night Football, national television. If they go out there and beat the Chiefs, let alone wallop them, neither of which I think is going to happen, but if they did that, the way people talk about the Jags tomorrow would be very, very, very different, including in Kansas City.
Yeah, just looking at their schedule again, you got Kansas City, Seattle, the Rams in the month of October, a bye week. Like, you got a chance here if you can navigate this stretch with back-to-back home games and then an international game that just usually those games feel like coin flips. You could put yourself in a position where you're 6-2 heading into your bye week in a pretty weak division. So let's see what happens with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Let's talk a little bit about Travis Hunter. Now, admittedly, I would consider myself to be a Travis Hunter fan. I just liked watching him play last year. He was incredibly electric. I would have voted for him to win the Heisman Trophy last year. I know a lot of you would have voted for Ashton Jeanty. Two great players. I thought that Travis Hunter was the best player in college football last season. This is the thing that's really confusing to me about Jacksonville and their plan with Travis Hunter. They're not really using him, which just doesn't really make any sense. So let's talk about it from a wide receiver perspective, because that's where they seem like they think he fits best. Emeka Egbuka, who is having a phenomenal rookie year, he's playing in 85% of the offensive snaps for Tampa Bay. 85%. I mean, this is the guy that's getting a lot of opportunities, getting a lot of routes, getting a lot of chances, and making the most of his chances as a dynamic college receiver who has really, really transitioned well into the National Football League. If you look at Jacksonville, Travis Hunter is playing in 57% of the snaps. So, to add it, Emeka Egbuka has played in 290 snaps so far this season. Travis Hunter has played 159. Now, Egbuka's played one extra game because of yesterday, but that's at least giving you a percentage of kind of how they're using him. And then on defense, I mean, they're not really using him. He's played in 38% of their defensive snaps. So, you're not really committed to him being your number two wide receiver, certainly not in terms of usage, routes, all of those kind of things. You have him just kind of in the mix with your other wide receivers. Parker Washington, who's actually had a pretty good year so far this year. So, like, you're not really using him much more than those guys. And then on defense, you're not really giving him a whole lot of opportunities. He's only playing in 38% of the defensive snaps. You got to commit to doing one of these two things with Travis Hunter. You got to just let him go how Colorado did last year and just let him play. And maybe he breaks down, but you just got to let him play. You got to let him go out there and play wide receiver, turn around and play on defense. You just got to let Travis Hunter go, or you got to use him how Deion was used when he was with the Atlanta Falcons. I'm going to play corner, or I'm going to play primarily one position, and I'll moonlight periodically on the other side. You guys remember how the Cowboys used Deion, how the Falcons used Deion. We're going to let you do a little kick return. We're going to let you do a little punt return. You're primarily going to play corner, but every once in a while, we'll put you on offense. We'll give you a go route. We'll give you an end around. We'll give you a jet sweep. We just think that you are an explosive player with your hand. There seemed to be a plan with the usage of Deion Sanders when teams were trying to do this. I don't really know what the plan is with Travis Hunter. You're not using him like a number one wide receiver, which you spent a significant amount of resources. You feel like he could be a number one wide receiver. So you're not using him like that. You're also not using him like a guy that could turn out to be an all-pro corner. This just feels like such a misusage of his ability. Also, just not getting the bang for your buck of what you traded for. You traded a future first-round pick to go get him. You think that Travis Hunter is a special, special talent. Then you got to use him like he's a special, special talent. But right now, he's incredibly average at two things. He's an incredibly average wide receiver, and they're making him an incredibly average corner. I think he can be one of the best corners in the league. You can't be that if you're only playing 38% of the snaps. There's no way you can turn into that.
Can you explain to me, and maybe the answer is as simple as it's Jacksonville and the NFL world does not keep up with Jacksonville. And that's fine if that's the answer to this question. Why is this not a major talking point all the time this season in the NFL? Like, just, you always have talk about the say it out loud test. Let's say it out loud. Why is this not a bigger deal? the Heisman Trophy winner was a top five pick, a team hemorrhage future draft capital to go acquire him. They are now not playing him. I know he's on the field, but based on those numbers, he's basically a rotational player at both positions. Why is this not a major talking point everywhere?
Jacksonville.
I would imagine if you were to poll 500 Chiefs fans who before they heard this segment, they would probably say, hey, and you ask them, hey, what do you worry about the Jags game? The Chiefs play the Jags Monday Night Football. What do you worry about the Jags? I bet a bunch of them would say, oh, the Jags have Travis Hunter because they saw him last year at Colorado and they don't watch Jags games. It's just astonishing to me that the best player in college football last year, the biggest story in college football last year, probably the biggest story on draft night because of the trade with the Browns and what everyone gave up, and one of the biggest stories in training camp, which was just, 3 months ago because he had to play both sides of the ball, is basically not playing NFL football, and it's kind of like, oh, the average person is just learning that. It's legitimately astonishing to me, and I'm with you. I think you're higher on Travis Hunter than I am, because you liked him more than me, and that's fine. But you got to either A, commit to him being one of the two and let him loose, or you got to do what you said and commit to him being both. Because right now, him not playing is just the craziest thing I think we see in the NFL this season.
Yeah, a lot of it, to me, it's just usage. It just doesn't make any sense. I'm looking at the Chiefs snap counts. Tyquan Thornton has been on the field more at wide receiver than Travis Hunter has been so far this season. So you're not getting your value as a wide receiver. He's just not on the field enough. And Tyquan Thornton, I'm not here to put down him. I'm just using him and as an example. The Chiefs didn't spend the number two overall pick on Tyquan Thornton. I think we know what he is. Hey, he's a very productive player, role guy. He's found his niche and he is going to live in it. That's not how at least Travis Hunter was viewed coming into the NFL. And then when you look on the defensive side of how he's being used, you're not getting the value on that side of the ball either because you're just not playing him enough. It sounds like you and I agree when it comes to this. You and I are on the same page. You either got to commit to, we're going to play you at corner, so you're going to be on the field 85% of the time, and then we'll use you periodically as a wide receiver, or vice versa. Hey, we think you can be a Mecca Egbuka. We think you can be one of the best young receivers in the NFL. We are going to hone in on that, and we'll let you moonlight as a corner every once in a while. But right now, you got two average players on both sides of the ball. I think somebody made this joke on Twitter. I wish I knew who it was. I would give him credit. You spent the number two overall pick on a okay corner and Wandale Robinson on offense. That's what you spent it on. That's obviously not what you thought he was going to be. So you just got to commit to whatever the plan is. But it just doesn't feel like they have a plan right now.
Me and you agree. I guess the one addendum to where we kind of minorly disagree is I honestly, if I was a Jags fan, which I'm not because I exist in the world, and Jags fans are an idea. They're a myth. They're a concept. I don't care which side of the ball he plays at. I just want him on the field more on either side. I agree with you. I think he's a better corner than wide receiver. But if Liam Cohen and the Jags decided he's our new wide receiver number two and he's going to be getting 75, 80% of the snaps and we're not going to mess around with him on defense anymore, that's fine. I saw Travis Hunter play live last year. He's a good wide receiver. I think he can be a good NFL wide receiver. I think he's a better corner, so I'd be in your camp, and I'd be playing him more there. But this idea of, a dollop of offense, a dollop of defense, but never really doing either at a very high rate, high usage, or high level is benefiting the Jags none. Honestly, considering they're getting so little out of their first-round pick, which seems to be their own doing, it's really remarkable the Jags are pretty good this year because they're getting nothing out of Travis Hunter, who last year, again, won the Heisman for how good he was in college football.
I want to play this audio for you guys. This is Mitch Holtz's voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Here's what he had to say about Jacksonville and their ability to take the football away.
The point is Jacksonville's nasty now. They only had 9 takeaways in 17 games last year. They're sitting here looking at 13 takeaways in 4 games and 41 points off those takeaways. They're young and feisty and physical, and Travis Etienne's playing great. He had a huge game yesterday. They get Lawrence, where he didn't turn it over yesterday. He had been turning it over in the first 3 games, but I should have mentioned them. What is the AFC South like that? Do you have a 13-4 team? I don't know if the Jags can get there, but that might be your best candidate. And yeah, this is a big game for them. Same with the Chiefs, but this is a much better Jacksonville team than I think maybe Chiefs Kingdom fans want to give them credit for. They're looking at last year's team. Nope, this is a new team, and they're fast and furious.
I want to take you guys back in the time machine a little bit. The only reason I want to do that is because a lot of you still reference, and I get why people reference this, the Chris Collinsworth game in Juwan Taylor's career. You reference the Juwan Taylor game. Chris Collinsworth said this. He unfairly picked him out. And ever since then, he has been a marked man. Rob, do you know who the Chiefs played in week two? Because that was week one. That was the first game of Juwan Taylor's career. It's his first time, our first game in Kansas City. Do you know who they played in week two?
The Jacksonville Jaguars. In Jacksonville.
They played Jacksonville. You want to know how many penalties he had in that game?
Well, I remember he got pulled at one point, so it was
a
lot.
He had five. He had five penalties in that game. He had four, either false start or illegal formation penalties, and he had one offensive holding penalties. We can talk about how real or not real you thought last week's performance was against the Ravens, and there's a lot to talk about because we just saw the Ravens get beat down again on Sunday. But I think the big takeaway from everything was how clean the offensive line played, how well they played. They dominated. That's the best, I would say, cohesive unit that we've seen the Chiefs put together in quite some time. A thing that was very noticeable and stood out to a lot of people was how clean of play it was over at right tackle and how they didn't have a penalty. This is a road night game, Monday night football, a place that was a house of horrors for you the last time that you were there. One player that I'm looking at, directly looking at in this game, is Juwan Taylor. Last time out, it went perfect for you against the Ravens. Is that something that you can potentially build upon? Is that something that we can carry over and keep that momentum and keep that going? Or is this going to be like we've seen plenty of times, or the last time that the Chiefs went to Jacksonville 2 years ago and you had five penalties and they had to put you in timeout just to cool down and settle yourself a little bit? Juwan Taylor is one of the guys that I got my eye on because I'm not all the way there yet. Hey, that was one start. Hey, it was good, but you're not supposed to get false start penalties. You're not supposed to get illegal formation penalties. I'm not giving you credit for giving me the baseline as a player in this game where I think that Jacksonville has a capable pass rush, where I think they got a good defensive line, where I think their D-line can cause disruption, cause those turnovers that Mitch Holtis was just talking about, be disruptive, be chaotic, force turnovers, and really muddy up this game to give their offense a chance. Man, it really starts with me at right tackle, and can you continue the very solid play that you got last week against the Ravens?
I think that that theme is extends beyond just Juwan Taylor. I agree with everything about Juwan Taylor. Like, I am probably in your camp where I'm skeptical and or maybe a cynic because I feel like the data, the sample size tells us that his game against the Ravens was an outlier. He is more likely than not going to be penalized again tonight at some point, some way, somehow. Maybe not five, but I believe he will probably catch penalty tonight because that's just who Juwan Taylor has been his NFL career. But I think that, hey, was last week real or is this week, was it just a mirage, is kind of the biggest talking point of the Chiefs tonight. Like, it's the only talking point, really. Like, if they go out and take care of business, I think Chiefs fans will be in the right and they can, you know, puff out their chest and say, see, last week the Chiefs turned the corner. Watch out, league. Here we come. Weeks one and two were just whatever. Now we're back in our game. But if it was another slog, if it looks like the Giants game and it's ugly and the offense is stuck in the mud and Juwan Taylor is all the penalties all over again, man, it might be a lot of the same conversations we had following the Giants game for Kansas City and their Chiefs fans.
Yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying. I guess I'm really intrigued just to see and get an answer to our question on whether it was real or not real last week, or what percentage of it was Kansas City, is maybe a better way of putting it. What percentage of their performance was the Chiefs and them really turning the corner and them really starting to figure things out and be a cohesive unit? What portion of that was them playing the Baltimore Ravens? Because if you want to look at the Ravens matchup from yesterday against the Houston Texans, their defense and their team, they stink. That is a bad football team. They really are right now. That is a bad team that can't do a whole lot right. I mean, I'm sitting here and I'm looking at the drive charts. I mean, the Texans scored on their first eight offensive possessions. So, I mean, just very similar to what Kansas City did. And this is a Houston offense that couldn't really get right before any of this. This is a Houston offense that was really struggling up until they went up against the Baltimore Ravens, and they were able to basically do whatever they wanted to offensively. That's kind of like what Kansas City was able to do last week against the Baltimore Ravens. Now, I'm not here to take away from the performance. The Chiefs did what they did. You got to move on and you got to do it. I think that Jacksonville is going to provide far more resistance than I think the Ravens can provide at this point. What we do know is the Ravens are not good. I don't know if Jacksonville is good, but I know that Baltimore is not good. I know that Baltimore is not capable. We are still trying to figure that out. So this is a really good test for a Kansas City offense. You got Xavier Worthy back. He's supposed to go in this one. We'll talk a little bit more about Rashard Smith and what his role could possibly look like in this offense. And are they going to expound upon it the way that they said they were going to in this matchup? But I do think that's a question that you have to ask heading into this matchup. Hey, last week we saw the Chiefs offense kick around the Ravens. We saw the Ravens yesterday. The Ravens continued to get kicked around by a team that very few people think are going to make the postseason. This just feels like one of those years from hell for the Ravens. It just feels like a lost season for them so far. That's a bad team that just can't do a lot of things right. The Chiefs were able to take advantage of that team, and it was great. Can they continue that against Jacksonville today against a team that has gotten off to a good start?
I pulled the stats. You mentioned the drive charts. Listen to these stats because I pulled them. This is the Ravens' last two games. So this is the Chiefs game where the Chiefs offense, everyone says, oh boy, they're back. And the Texans who, you know, for a peek behind the curtain, earlier today we were kind of in the office chit-chatting about the NFL, me, you, and the boss man, and Speck says the Texans stink. Here are the last two Ravens games as far as drives. The Ravens have conceded 20 drives in those two games, 10 games each. In 15 of those drives, they give up points. 15 of the last 20 drives, the Ravens defense has been on the field, points are scored. That's astonishing. To make matters worse for how terrible that Ravens defense is, of those 15 scoring drives, so the 15 times they gave up points, 9 of them were touchdowns. Basically, quick math, of the last 20 drives the Ravens defense has been on the field, basically 50% of the time, man, you're scoring a touchdown. And by the way, two of those drives, if you look at the drive chart on Pro Football Reference, you know what it says? End of game. So it might be a kneel, it might be a running out of the clock. So if you want to tell me that, A, they've only played 18 drives, those will only make the numbers look worse. Like the Ravens defense is trash, and trash is the nicest way on the radio I can say it. So I think that's the big thing tonight. Was it the Chiefs last week turning the corner? Were these healthy? The offense is back. Watch out. Mahomes has a chance to be the MVP again. All those conversations. Or are we on Tuesday going to say, maybe the Chiefs got to face the Ravens defense, which might be worse than Dallas?
I mean, it's also important to note, and I know you can't play the transitive property, Team A and Team B. I get all of that. I mean, Houston scored 10 points against Jacksonville. 2 weeks ago, they scored 10 points against Jacksonville, and they looked like an absolute juggernaut last night against the Baltimore Ravens. So, again, I do think the Ravens just played a major part of it. Again, it doesn't matter to me about the Ravens anymore. They are in the rearview mirror. Can you take what you did well in that game, which was getting Xavier Worthy involved, which was using Breshard Smith, which was converting those first downs, which was playing a clean game with your offensive line, with the left side with the young guys, and also with Jawan Taylor not committing penalties? I think most people agree here, and let me know, 913-586-7965. If you disagree, you're certainly allowed to. If the Chiefs play a clean game, I just don't think Jacksonville can beat them. If this game is played straight up, if Kansas City doesn't lose the turnover differential, if Kansas City can't control the line of scrimmage, if you don't have a touchdown drive that is altered because of a legal formation or a false start that takes a big play off of the drive, if that's the game that they're going to go on the road and play, I think they just beat the Jacksonville Jaguars. Where teams get into trouble and where Kansas City's offense has been stalled, it's been by not doing those things when you go up against a capable defense. I think Jacksonville has a capable defense right now. So I do think we'll see a very good test on the answer to our question from last week, if it was the Chiefs offense and then legitimately turning a corner, or they just went up against the Ravens at right now, the perfect time to play the Ravens. Because right now, I'm telling you, everybody is getting a turn right now against the Baltimore Ravens. They cannot stop anybody. You just gave the stat. They have allowed points on 15 of their last 20 drives that they have had on defense. At this point, if you take the field against the Ravens, you should expect to go down the field and score a touchdown, because that is what the last two opponents have done against them. Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by Ben Stevens. He is with VSiN. We'll take a look at the gambling perspective of Monday Night Football. Would you take the over? Should you take the under? Who are his favorite touchdown props for today? Some over-under on player props. We'll get you ready. Keep it right here. So drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's head to the phone lines right now to take a look at today's Monday Night Football game from the gambling perspective. My guy Ben Stevens joins us on the show. He does fantastic work with VSiN. Ben, how you doing today, my man?
Carrington, my man, I am doing very well. It is always a wonderful Monday if I am talking to you, previewing some Kansas City Chiefs football. So excited to dive in.
Absolutely, man. Let's just start with this. A lot of people should have got this number yesterday because you had a chance to get this at -3. It is now at -3.5. I'm wondering if this scares you at all, or should you just not worry about the half point? If you feel strongly about Kansas City, just take it.
You know, as they say, Carrington, the key numbers in the National Football League are that firm number of a field goal at 3 and a firm number at a touchdown of 7. If you are losing the hook either which way, you have missed the best of the number. And that, of course, is if the game falls on that flat number of 3 and the flat number of 7, which happens often. It's why they are the key and vital numbers when it comes to handicapping NFL football. You would be surprised how close, of course, these margins are. The NFL is unlike any other sport that you can bet because there are not edges. There are not sharp sides often when you go about this because of how well these are handicapped and placed each and every week. What I will say, though, is if you look at that hook and still expect Kansas City to win this game, you're talking about a one-possession score. That one possession could be a field goal. That one possession could be up to a touchdown. And still having it at 3.5, with the number of 4 being vital for Kansas City the last 2.5 years, I think that's where you can still find some value. Look into the stats, and oftentimes when Patrick Mahomes has been the quarterback for the Chiefs dating back to that first full season in 2018, a lot is said about Kansas City's inability to cover, booked as a favorite, obviously incredibly frequently. 58-58-4 against the spread since Mahomes became the starter in 2018 when booked as the favored side. But in the last few years, Carrington, in the games where that spread was under a touchdown, in fact, 4 points or fewer, Kansas City in the regular season, 7-3 against the number, and 2 of those 3 non-covers back in 2023 against the Eagles and the Bills. And the only other non-cover where KC has been booked as a 4-point favorite or fewer since the start of 2023 in the Brazilian opener against Los Angeles to start off this year against the Bulls. So, back the number is still fewer than 4. I still think there is some value on Kansas City if you think the Chiefs win this game tonight at Duval County.
I really like touchdown props. I'm usually somebody that likes to stay for the either I'm going to take the spread or the money line, depending on what it is. And I usually try to find one or two players that I think have great value when it comes to scoring a touchdown. Everybody right now is plus money. I got a rule. I'm not paying the juice for a touchdown. They're already random enough, so I'm not paying the juice for it. Are there a couple of touchdown props that you like for today? You can get Travis Etienne at +110, Kelsey's at 155, Worthy's at 150. Are there some touchdown props that you like?
Yeah, no doubt about it, Carrington. I mean, you look at this Jacksonville side, one of the better rushing offenses so far in the opening month of this NFL season, averaging about 144 yards per game, and they're running it on nearly 44% of their plays. That's top half of the NFL, 13th most often in the National Football League. So Travis Etienne being that plus 115 number, the shortest in a game that features a total of 45.5, not a bad look. This is not our highest total by any means, but of course some points are expected. I love the rookie running back out of Virginia Tech in Bashaul Tuten. His number at plus 400, maybe a little bit more of a sprinkle on that anytime touchdown number. What's really interesting about how the Chiefs have constructed things offensively this year, of course, Patrick Mahomes in terms of yardage is KC's leading rusher. However, the most frequent attempts, that's going to Kareem Hunt, slightly edging out both Mahomes and Isaiah Pacheco. Kareem Hunt to hit pay dirt tonight, a plus 245 price. It has not been the most easy in terms of how the Chiefs have done things on the ground so far this year. But if I'm looking at some of these plus money prices, love Jacksonville on the ground, Travis Etienne, even a longer shot on the rookie out of Vod Tech in Bashaul Tuten at a plus 400 number. Or if you're looking at Kansas City, I think Kareem Hunt having that plus 245 price, still being the guy the Chiefs give the ball to most frequently on the ground against this Jacksonville defense, a way I would approach things for Monday night.
Right now, we're talking to Ben Stevens of VSiN, taking a closer look at the gambling perspective of Monday Night Football. Ben, are you touching any rushing prop with Kansas City? You just mentioned a couple of them. I kind of like Kareem Hunt over-under on attempts. You can get that at 8.5 right now. I just think he gets to double digits. I could see the Chiefs being in control of this game, so they're just trying to rack up carries toward the end of the game. I think that's just about it, maybe aside from a Kareem Hunt anytime touchdown. Are you staying away from rushing props completely when it comes to KC right now?
I would kind of look at Kareem Hunt, though, Carrington, because I do believe there is a little bit of value on the number that you mentioned, the rush attempts prop, the over 8.5, as we have shared, at least 8 rushing attempts for Hunt in the last 3 for Kansas City, double digits each of the previous 2 weeks. And you can correlate that then to what I think is a slightly discounted rushing yards prop. We're not expecting Kareem Hunt to go out there and even put up 50-plus, let alone 75-plus or 4 with a triple-digit night in Jacksonville. But that number being 26.5, which when he has had the last 3 weeks, at least 8 carries on the ground, he has gone over this number of 26 in a hook. It's a way I would approach things. And I think the volume that Kansas City decides to approach things with tonight in their rushing attack will be interesting. We mentioned Jacksonville, what they have put up production-wise offensively in establishing the run, $1.44 per game. Well, teams not running it all that frequently against the Jags to begin this season, only facing about 21 attempts of the opposing offense on the ground so far in 2025's NFL season. That is the fewest opponent rush attempts around the National Football League for Jacksonville. How will Kansas City construct the offense? It's a way of looking at it where I like Kareem Hunt on the attempts over 8.5, or thus then correlated Carrington, 26.5 for the rushing yards prop is a way I would look. Don't love the number on Travis Etienne. It's the highest one out there tonight. I mentioned more of the sprinkle, the high volume play with a ton of plus money on the rookie running back Bashaul Tuten to find the end zone at plus 400. But if I was focusing anywhere in rushing props tonight, it's Kareem Hunt's attempts, which I think you have a good one right there at 8.5, or the correlated rushing yards number at 26.5.
Last thing here, Ben, and we appreciate your time. What do you do with the Chiefs wide receiver? So going through the numbers, Travis Kelce is at 42.5. Xavier Worthy is at 59.5. Hollywood Brown, 36.5. Juju Smith-Schuster is at 31.5. I mean, if I had to take one of these, I think I'd probably side with Xavier Worthy, but you just never know who the hot hand is going to be in their offense. One day it can be Juju. One day it can be Tyquan Thornton. One day it can be Marquise Brown. They haven't really kind of settled in on anybody else. So those are just no plays for me.
Yeah, I think it's a tough market to approach as well. Of course, Travis Kelce is always going to get a look. His receptions prop 4.5, but the under the hefty money at minus 161. I think, Carrington, if you have already bet Xavier Worthy, congrats. That number opened earlier this week at 55.5, 56.5 on DraftKings for Xavier Worthy in the receiving yards prop. I checked this about an hour ago. It was 59.5, the receiving yards number for Worthy, and what should be his second full game for KC this year, despite still dealing and listed as questionable on that injury report. That number now, 62.5. Are you finding the best of it as this number is skyrocketing in the market Absolutely not. Could you still get in on it right now and expect Worthy to have 65, 70, 75 yards tonight against this Jacksonville secondary perhaps as well? One wrinkle I would throw in there, if you are looking beyond Xavier Worthy and beyond Travis Kelce, looking to a guy like a Tyquan Thornton, when you look at his overall receiving yards over under tonight against Jacksonville, it's 15.5. The longest reception prop for Tyquan Thornton is 12.5. Of course, he can be that deep play threat for Mahomes and this passing offense. It's just a slightly discounted number if you are expecting Tyquan Thornton, not so much for volume or the targets tonight, to be involved in this KC passing attack, to look at that longest reception prop at 12.5, find that one play that goes for 15, 20 yards down the field, an explosive for this Chiefs offense, and cash your ticket that way.
That is our guy Ben Stevens joining us on the show today. He does fantastic work for VSiN, taking a look at the gambling perspective for Chiefs and Jaguars. Ben, always great catching up with you, my man.
Carrington, my man, I appreciate it. Good luck to your Tigers this weekend, by the way, in a great game against Alabama. Mizzou can run it. The Crimson Tide, not so great establishing the run this year.
I'm already nervous about it, Ben, and it's Monday, man. I appreciate that. That's our guy Ben Stevens joining us on the show today to take a closer look at the gambling perspective for Chiefs and Jaguars. All right, coming up on the other side, I do want to tell you guys what the most popular bets that have been placed on Monday Night Football are. We'll go through those coming up in just a bit. We'll go through the running attack for both of these teams. I actually feel very good about the Chiefs' rush defense going up against a very productive running back that Jacksonville has. We'll do that next. Keep right here.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let me go through these very quickly for you guys. We are going to be joined by Ryan Green in Jacksonville coming up in about 15 minutes. These are the most popular player props for Monday Night Football. Number 5, the under on Trevor Lawrence passing yards at 220. Over on Xavier Worthy receiving yards, 51.5. Over on Travis Hunter receiving yards at 27.5. What a low number for Travis Hunter. Travis Etienne, his over on rush yards at 63.5. Let's stop right there. I'm not touching over on Travis Etienne. If there's one thing I know about the Chiefs defense, it is that they will take Travis Etienne out of this game. I know that. I've seen them do this far too many times when it comes to running backs. I just wouldn't touch the number. Now, could he potentially help them out of the backfield? They throw it to him, a little swing pass. Could he get involved in the passing attack? Sure. But if you were talking about Trevor Lawrence turning around, handing the ball off, and Etienne really being a problem for the Chiefs, I got to be on the other side of that. I've seen them do a fantastic job of just eliminating those kind of backs. Rob, I think they'll do a really good job against him. This is not to diminish the kind of player that I think he is. I think he is a versatile, do-everything kind of back. He can run it a little bit, catch it out of the backfield a little bit. He's a very productive player. I just don't see him really hurting Kansas City tonight.
I mean, I like Trevor Etienne. I mean, there's no reason to dislike him. But think about what the Chiefs have done this season against running backs. We think Derrick Henry is probably better than Travis Etienne. The Chiefs, now probably the Ravens, but the Chiefs shut down Henry. We think that Saquon Barkley is a better back than Travis Etienne. The Chiefs did a good job this year on Saquon Barkley. So, like, it's not a disrespect to Travis Etienne. I just don't expect much from tonight. The Chiefs' defense seems to do that. What's the old verbiage? Make him play one-handed. The Chiefs seem to do a good job of taking away the run. It's the old Gunther analogy. You take away the run, you take the head off of the snake or whatever he used to say. I don't have any fear of Etienne going off tonight. And if we're on Tuesday talking about Travis Etienne was dominant, we're probably talking about a Chiefs loss, because I think if you try to make Trevor Lawrence beat you by himself, which the Chiefs have done with other quarterbacks this year in the NFL, I don't think Trevor Lawrence is good enough to beat the Chiefs. So I am not at all worried about Etienne, only because of the Chiefs' history of playing against good running backs just this season alone.
The most popular player prop for Monday Night Football is Xavier Worthy over under 2.5 rush yards. You can grab that. That to me kind of seems like a no-brainer for this reason. I think he gets multiple carries in this game. Just last week, he was their leading rusher. I think we've seen the explosiveness. And sometimes you just got to manufacture touches. So you just got to make sure that you get him the ball. I don't care if it's an end around, a jet sweep, a screen play. You just have to figure out a way. Now, maybe the game plan is altered a little bit by the ankle injury, but I think you need, at least for right now, until you get Rashee Rice back, until you get him acclimated into the offense, I don't really think you have a choice. I think you got to use Xavier Worthy in a lot of different ways and be creative in how you use him. I actually really like that. I would take the over on 2.5 rush yards and just hope that you get one of those plays to break, kind of like last week. You ran that little reverse. It was a little bit of a crease. He ended up getting 30 yards. It's the easy cash for you. They also normally do this early on in the game. I'm going to assume that Xavier Worthy gets at least 2 carries in this game. If he gets 2 opportunities, I think he gets at least 3 yards. I love the over on that one. I actually think that number is a little bit too low.
First off, that number is comically low. I get why it's low. He's a wide receiver and it's running back at running number. I get it. We can play the cut. It's in the system. Mitch Holtis last week, around this time, I guess not quite a full week ago, we asked him about the run game, and what did he say? The Chiefs don't just use running backs. They have a lot of players who do a lot of different things, and he mentioned Xavier Worthy as part of that, culture change, that shift that can get the running game going. He said you can get him and Breshard Smith on end-arounds and jet sweeps and things like that that get the offense going. So 2.5 yards, you basically need him to get a carry, because maybe this is wrong by me. I feel like Xavier Worthy is getting a carry tonight. He's getting 3 yards. You can go to the window and cash your ticket. The question will be, do the Chiefs run him, or do you get screwed in a gambling sense? Do you get screwed by the idea that it's a catch and a pop pass, and suddenly what was a run play by definition ends up being a 3-yard pass?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Someone says, is that 2.5 rush yards or carries? No, it is 2.5 rush yards for Xavier Worthy. I just think I don't have enough confidence in the Chiefs' run game that if Xavier Worthy is not going to be a part of their run game, I just don't believe that they're going to run the football successfully then tonight. I think he has to be a part of their run game. And I get the ankle injury, but if he's healthy enough to be able to run routes and catch passes, he's definitely healthy enough for you to give him the ball once or twice on a running play and see what he could do and manufacture a touch. Let me give you guys the anytime touchdowns. Xavier Worthy is number 5 at +150. Juju Smith-Schuster, number 4 at +450. Tyquan Thornton at +400. He is number 3. Travis Kelce is at +185. And then Travis Etienne, he is at +100. Those are the 5 most popular anytime touchdowns bet for this game. Rob, let's talk a little bit about the run game. Let's talk about it from the Chiefs' perspective in Breshard Smith. I mean, this was something that they said last week. They said that they wanted to see his role expand in the offense. Well, it is the next week in the National Football League, and I certainly want to see what that means for the Kansas City Chiefs, what that means for Breshard Smith, and how they plan on using him in this matchup. He just hasn't really been on the field a whole lot so far this season. I get it. He's a young guy. I mean, he's only been on the field for 40 snaps. That's 15% of their offensive plays so far this season. But if you want to do a game-by-game snap count, how it worked, he was on the field for 8, 5, 8, and then last week he was on the field for 19 snaps. That was good for around 25% of the offense. If you can figure out a way to kind of keep it at that 25, maybe get it to 25-30%, you throw it to him out of the backfield a couple of times in this matchup, you give him 1 or 2 carries, and that's how you're going to kind of play the month of October. I think that's a really good use of it, and you get to a point where November, December, when the games get more important, you kind of settle in on what his role can potentially be. One of the things that I'm really going to be looking for, one of the things that I really want to see in this offense is, How does Rashard Smith look? I feel like he gives you the biggest sort of room for growth right now in the run game. And that's just, quite frankly, getting him more involved in the offense.
I really hope the Chiefs have Rashard Smith on the Isaiah Pacheco take a grown man jobs plan. Because remember, when Isaiah Pacheco was a rookie and was liked by Chiefs fans 4 years ago, 3 years ago, excuse me, it was week nine. Pacheco finally overcame Edwards-Helaire and became the number one running back on the depth chart. He was the primary ball carrier at that point. He got more carries. He got more snaps. He took the job away from Clyde Edwards-Helaire. It took 9 weeks. And at that point, I feel like most Chiefs fans were like, oh, Pacheco is better than Edwards-Helaire. And they still kind of slow played him, and they still kind of made it week by week. And then by week nine, it clicked. It was over. Pacheco had jumped Edwards-Helaire on the depth chart. Now, I hope the Rashard Smith thing happens faster, but I think we are experiencing the same thing, just a different time. Rashard Smith, maybe by week 9 or 10, is going to be the primary back on this team. He's got more juice. He's got more, you know, ball-catching ability. He's got more make-a-man-miss. I think he might be better in space than any of the other running backs on the Chiefs roster, but the Chiefs are slow to these things. Is that an Andy Reid problem, Matt Nagy problem? I don't know, but it does feel like he's on the Pacheco plan, which is week 7, 8, 9, somewhere in that window, me and you are going to be screaming from the heavens, why is he not running back one? And eventually, I think he does take the job. Expect more usages and snaps tonight, but I don't know he's going to be a true running back one until later in the season.
Yeah, I mean, one of my fears in this game is just something that we have talked about a lot so far this season is, my fear in this is that they'll just be incredibly one-dimensional, and that's why the offense stalls. It's not a shock to me that the offense performed as well as they did when they had their biggest rushing play of the season. Like, it just opens things up for them. Against the Giants game, so 2 games ago, I mean, Isaiah Pacheco and Kareem Hunt, they got 20 carries between the two of them. I know we disagree on Andy doesn't want to run the football. I mean, Isaiah Pacheco got 10 carries. Kareem Hunt got 2 carries. Between the two of them, they ran the ball 20 times for 79 yards. It's just they don't have a lot of explosiveness in their run game. And when that's the case and you are asking Pat to do more and continue to carry this attack and they're one-dimensional, I think that's where you see their offense gets into a little bit of trouble. I just want to see Rashard Smith just infused in this offense a little bit more, some creativity and figuring out ways to get him the ball. I just think that is your biggest room for growth. I think that's where you got a little bit of juice and a little bit of pop in a run game that just desperately needs it at this point. Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by Ryan Green of 1010 XL in Jacksonville. We'll get their perspective on Monday Night Football. That's coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Watch the show on YouTube by subscribing to the 965 YouTube channel. The Drive, brought to you by DM Entry Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Entry Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 965, The Fan.
Let's head to the phone lines right now to head to Jacksonville, Florida, to be joined by Ryan Green of 1010 XL in Jacksonville. Ryan, man, happy to have you pop on today.
Carrington, how are you, buddy?
Doing fantastic, man. Happy to have you on the show today. Let's just start with this. Jacksonville is 3-1. How did we get here?
It's pretty surprising. Now, look, I thought they'd be 2-2 in the first four, so maybe I'm not as surprised as some. But nevertheless, 3-1 is 3-1. It's the second time since 2008 the Jaguars have started 3-1, and the first time since 2018. They got here because of the defense, man. That's one of the big points. 13 forced turnovers. It's the first time in the history of the franchise they've had 4 games in a row where they've forced at least 3 or more turnovers. They're getting the ball, and when they get the ball, they're taking advantage of it. The offense is scoring complimentary football. And the running game. I mean, Travis Etienne looks like the Travis Etienne that was here back in 2022 in the early stages of 2023. The passing game really hasn't clicked yet. It's been all the running game and all the defense, and that's how Jacksonville is 3-1 so far this year.
The thing that really stands out to me when I look at Jacksonville is the turnover differential. I guess my theory is, and this is just from watching it from the outside, it feels like what goes up must come down. And if your defense is really predicated on taking the football away, when you can't take the football away, it leaves you exposed. Is that a fair assessment of Jacksonville?
Yeah, but I think my counter to that would be, and I think with the Jaguars' counter to that would be, they know the law of averages will tell you the defense will not keep this up, because if they do, I mean, it would be the most historic defense in NFL history. You just don't force three turnovers for an entire season every single game. Having said that, the offense, quite frankly, Carrington, hasn't been very good, particularly the passing game. Brian Thomas Jr. doesn't have 200 yards receiving yet this year. Neither does Travis Hunter. Trevor Lawrence has been average at best. And with that being said, they're still 3-1. So I think what the Jaguars will tell you is they know that turnover differential will start evening itself out. But the hope is that the passing game finds itself, so maybe it won't matter when that time comes.
Why have there been struggles in the passing game? Because just from the outside looking in, this is a quarterback that has a capable run game. You got a legitimate number one in Brian Thomas. You spent the top five pick on Travis Hunter, and we'll talk more specifically about him here coming up in a bit. But, I mean, this is an offense that has all of the pieces to at least be trending in the right direction. What's going on with the offense?
Yeah, I think some of it's the new coaching staff. It's a completely different system that Liam Cohen has brought here from what they had with Doug Peterson. I think that's part of it. Drops have been a big part. I don't think Trevor's stats tell a clear picture. I think he's been a little bit better than his stats would indicate. The receivers have not done a good job catching the ball. I mean, Brian Thomas Jr. in particular had massive drops weeks 1, 2, and 3. Now he began to find himself a little bit last week in the win over San Francisco. He had 5 grabs for, I believe, 49 yards, which was his best game to date this year. Travis Hunter, I just don't think they're throwing the ball to him enough. Now, he did make his best play on offense last week. I'm sure you saw that 3rd and 15 down the middle seam route that he dove, and it was a 28-yard gain. It was a beautiful catch. You hope that's kind of the start of something for Travis Hunter. But I think the drops have played a factor. I think the new offense has played a factor. And you just hope that the passing game can catch up with the running game, because Carrington, the running game in Jacksonville has been one of the best in the league 4 weeks in.
Right now, we're talking to Ryan Green of 1010XL in Jacksonville. Let's talk about that run game. At least the expectation in Kansas City is Chiefs fans think they can slow down that Jacksonville run game. The Chiefs' run defense has done a decent job so far, kind of taking things away. Do you think that the Chiefs are going to be able to do that when it comes to the Jacksonville rush attack?
I mean, look, could they stop it? Absolutely. The Texans stopped it in the first half. Jacksonville still was able to get 75 yards in the second half and winning that football game. Travis Etienne's 3rd in the league in rushing coming into this week, 394 yards on the ground. And look, the offensive line, it's interesting. It's not household names, right? They signed Robert Hainsey from Tampa, who wasn't even the starting center last year. Now, he started the 2 years prior with Tom Brady, but he did not, or 1 year with Brady, 1 year with Baker, but he did not start last year. In Tampa, he comes to Jacksonville and is a captain on this team. He's been great 4 weeks in. They signed Patrick McCary, a guard from Baltimore, who is as versatile as anybody in the league. He's had 250 snaps at all 5 offensive line positions in his career. And I'm saying all that to say this. They didn't exactly bring in household names, but the guys they brought in have gelled very, very quickly. The San Francisco 49ers last week, albeit minus Nick Bosa, did not touch Trevor Lawrence in the passing game, did not get a sack, and did not get a quarterback hit. It's the first time in a decade that the 49ers did not touch an opposing quarterback. So not only the run blocking, but the pass blocking, it is the most underrated offensive line unit in the league, and they are the reason the Jaguars are being able to run the ball the way they are right now.
I heard some rumblings about Brian Thomas. Is everything good there? Maybe I made this up. This might have just been some tweets. I feel like there was something centered around Brian Thomas.
Yeah, he seems to be good. I mean, he was bad, quite frankly. He had awful drops against Cincinnati. He had one play where he just basically stopped running, and it caused an interception because Trevor thought he was going to keep going, and it looked like BTJ maybe made a business decision with a safety coming across the middle, and that resulted in a pick. And BTJ got a lot of grief for that in their only loss of the year, week 2 at Cincinnati. But he's come out of it a little bit. He had a game-changing play against Houston, a 46-yard catch in the 4th quarter that set up the winning score. Like I said, he had 5 grabs for 49 yards last week. He has not looked like the BTJ we saw last year, which is giving Jacksonville fans confidence, Carrington, because, again, they're 3-1, and BTJ and Hunter haven't really done anything in the passing game. If that starts clicking, there's a lot of optimism about where this team could potentially go this season.
You mentioned him. Let's talk about him. Let's talk about Travis Hunter. We were mentioning this earlier. It doesn't feel like they're using him enough at wide receiver, and he's certainly not getting enough snaps on the defensive side. It feels to me either you got to let Travis be who he was at Colorado, or you got to pick what you want him to be, and he plays 80% of the snaps on one side of the ball, and then he moonlights on the other side. It feels like right now they just have him being a very average player on two sides of the ball instead of really trying to be a great player on one of them.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And again, he's 4 weeks into his NFL career. I think people see Travis Hunter and they were expecting Randy Moss on one side and Charles Woodson on the other immediately. That's just not, you know, reality. But your point's a fair one. Now, defensively, he did not play that much in the second half against San Francisco. I think he only logged, I think, 9 defensive snaps against the 49ers. But like I said, he had that 28-yard catch on 3rd and 15 last week that you hope might open things up for him. I agree they need to use him more on the offensive side of the ball. I also think, though, that Travis Hunter, there's a couple of instances where you see him blocking downfield, opening up lanes for ETN. You have to block when you're in this Liam Cohen offense at wide receiver. And I think those two clips of Hunter just burying 49er defensive backs last week show you that he's vested. He's into what they're doing. He's fired up. They're winning, which is obviously solving a lot of problems as well. And I do believe he's got too much talent. And sooner rather than later, he is going to break out offensively.
Have you ever seen a football player dance as much as he does?
You know, it's interesting. When they drafted him back in, what was it, late April, early May, I mean, I knew who he was, obviously, and I talked to people at Colorado, but I had never met the kid. And the first time you meet him, it's just infectious, man. He's a happy dude. He loves what he's doing. He's all about two things. He's about football and fishing. If he's not playing football, he's on the water somewhere here in Jacksonville. And those are his two loves, his two passions. It's impossible not to like the guy. He's just a likable dude. His teammates are really just loving the interaction they have with him. You should see him on the practice field. It's hilarious. They're playing music, and it's a Wednesday before the San Francisco game, and he's out there doing all sorts of stuff, having his guys laughing, joking around with him. And truthfully, Carrington, that's what this team needed. This team was awful for basically a large portion of the last 15 to 20 years. The introduction of Travis Hunter, the introduction of Liam Cohen and James Gladstone and the new regime here, it is just a completely different feeling here in Jacksonville. And I think that'll be transmitted tonight for you guys through the television. I expect it to be a crazy scene here at Everbank Stadium this evening.
Yeah, I was looking this up. Jacksonville hasn't won a Monday night football game at home since 2011. Like, they just don't have many games like this in their franchise's history. They don't have a whole lot of wins like this. My point earlier was, we don't learn anything new about Kansas City. They've been to Super Bowls. We know what they are. But I think there is just a cloud of mystery right now against Jacksonville. There's a lot of people like me. I don't know how good Jacksonville is. Maybe they're the best team in the AFC South. Maybe we're talking about a team that wins 7-8 games and fizzles out. This is kind of one of those games, and their next 3 games feel like really important games in trying to figure out who this Jacksonville team is.
I don't know where you were in life November 8th, 2009, but that's the last time the Jaguars beat the Kansas City Chiefs. 16 years since Jacksonville beat Kansas City. The Chiefs have won 7 in a row, including that playoff game, obviously, in January of 2023. But the Jaguars have put some streaks to bed as of late. I mean, the Texans had come in here and won 9 out of 10 in Jacksonville before 2 weeks ago. Last week, the Jaguars hadn't won on the West Coast but 4 times in franchise history in the Pacific time zone. And they go out to San Francisco and win. I got another one for you. Devin Lloyd, the Jaguar linebacker, was just named AFC Defensive Player of the Month. The Jaguars hadn't had an AFC Defensive Player of the Month in 20 years. You had to go back to Mike Peterson, November of 2005. So the Jaguars are putting a lot of streaks, a lot of narratives to bed. They would absolutely love to put the losing streak to Kansas City to bed tonight. And I agree. I look at tonight like very similar to New England last night. I think New England put the nation on notice last night with what they did against Buffalo. Jacksonville, even though they just beat San Francisco, if they go back-to-back San Francisco and Kansas City, I think the nation tomorrow would be talking about how good the Jaguars are if they get the win tonight.
We don't hear a lot about Jacksonville's crowd. I imagine they're showing up for this one. This is a big time spot. Monday night football, team playing well, Chiefs coming into town, and you know, everything that comes with that. We don't really hear a lot about Jacksonville fans. How have they really embraced this team? How have they, I guess, shown their excitement as they've gotten off to a great start?
I always use this analogy. All right. So, I mean, it's easy to be a Kansas City fan when you have Mahomes and Kelce and they're killing people every week and you're winning three Super Bowls. Arrowhead is packed, right? Because that's what happens. Imagine Kansas City literally being the worst team in the league for 13 out of the last 15 years. And you can argue Jacksonville has been the worst team in the league for 13 out of the last 15 years. They entered 2025 with 64 wins dating back to 2012. That was 9 fewer than anybody else in the league. I don't know any stadium that would be full when your team sucks that bad. But to the Jaguar fans' credit, they've always had a core 45, 50,000. And yeah, now people are coming back on board because they look like they have some life again. They look like they have some energy again. I go back to Liam Cohen and James Gladstone and Tony Boselli, the new regime here. The fact that a stadium is being built here, you'll hear about that tonight. The Jaguars actually aren't even going to play in Jacksonville in 2027. They're likely to play in Orlando because they're building a new stadium. It's going to open for the 2028 season, a beautiful $1.5 billion stadium. So things are certainly on the up and up here, and I expect it tonight to be a pretty crazy scene downtown.
I mean, of all the things we've talked about so far, Ryan, what I'm most impressed by is you guys have your stadium plan figured out. The Chiefs, they haven't been able to do that in 3 years. You guys got everything figured out?
Well, we do. Yeah, I mean, it was a long time coming. And I can't tell you how refreshing it is to not be asked about London anymore and not be asked about this, that, or the other. They were never moving to London. That was absolutely never going to happen. That was, you know, people just being lazy and not really understanding what was going on here. But the fact that they got that stadium deal figured out. In fact, this is the last year. You'll see some construction around the stadium tonight if they do overhead shots. They're already starting it. Next year, you're only going to have half capacity in Jacksonville. And then 2027, they're not playing here, likely in Orlando. But then 2028, the season will open up, and it is going to be absolutely gorgeous.
Right now, we're talking to Ryan Green of 1010 XL in Jacksonville for a couple more minutes here. We love asking the opposing team this question. Give me your Chiefs win-if scenario. Give me your Jaguars win-if scenario.
I mean, the Chiefs win if they don't turn the ball over. And I know they haven't turned the ball over much this year. Like we said, Jacksonville, that's kind of their thing. They forced a lot of turnovers, and they've capitalized off of those turnovers. I think if Kansas City comes out there and they obviously do what they did last week against Baltimore, then you're going to have a Chiefs victory. The Jaguar side of things, it's a lot of football PTSD is what I call it. National TV has not been good for the Jaguars. Last year, Monday Night Football in Buffalo, they lost 47-10. The last time Monday Night Football was here in Jacksonville, the Jaguars were actually 8-3 in the 2023 season. That was the game that Trevor Lawrence got hurt. And everybody joked around about, oh, they can't give him a cart to take him to the locker room. That was the last time it was here. When that game happened, Trevor gets hurt. The Jaguars lose 18 of their next 23 football games. So Monday Night Football here basically killed that generation of the Jaguars. Now here we are 2 years later. Jaguars are 3-1 for the first time in almost a decade. We'll see if this version of Monday Night Football can kind of be a resurgence. They need to survive the first quarter, first half. And I think that's funny for Kansas City fans to hear because you're on the road tonight. Jacksonville has been slaughtered on Monday Night Football. They have embarrassed themselves in front of national TV audiences time and time again. There will be nerves for the guys because they're not used to it like Kansas City is. But if they can survive the first half and if they can get into this game, I think they certainly have an opportunity to win in the second half.
Last thing, Ryan, are you a Colts believer?
They're good. The one thing I will say is this. Jacksonville beat the San Francisco 49ers last week, who have 4 wins now on the year. The 4 opponents that Indianapolis has beat have combined for 4 wins. They've gotten very lucky with their schedule. They have beaten some awful football teams. They play another bad one next week in Arizona. We're going to find out about the Colts pretty quick, though, after that, because they still have road games against you guys, against the Chargers. They have to go to Seattle. They have to play Jacksonville on the road. They have to play Houston on the road. They still have home games against Jacksonville, Houston, and San Francisco. The Colts have had it made in the shade through 5 games with their schedule. it will get increasingly tougher the deeper we get into the season.
What I love most about this season so far is, and maybe this has just been a more common theme over the last couple of years, we don't have any clue who's good right now in the National Football League. Like right now, you could ask 10 people that watch the NFL who's the best team in the NFL, and I think you might get 7 different answers. It just feels like it's very fluid, very up in the air, very week to week right now.
Oh, I agree. I mean, look, you know, who would have thought Jacksonville would be 3-1? Who would have thought New England would be 3-2? Indianapolis 4-1, to your point. Who would have thought Baltimore would be 1-4 and looking like one of the worst teams in the league? Miami as well. So, yeah, it's been a crazy start to the year, and it could get even crazier if Jacksonville pulls this off tonight.
That is Ryan Green of 1010XL in Jacksonville. Join us to get the Jaguars' perspective ahead of Monday Night Football. Ryan, man, you do great work down there, man. Appreciate you always popping on with us.
Hey, Carrington, anytime, buddy. Take care.
Absolutely. That is Ryan Green of 1010XL in Jacksonville joining us on the show. I will say this, just looking at the text line, that sometimes you guys like unify in a way that's just like very entertaining to see. When he said, hey, you know, you guys have been, you know, you guys have had some up and downs, but you don't know what it's like to be a Jaguars fan. The text line almost, yeah, we know exactly what it's like to be a Jacksonville fan. The Chiefs have certainly had some down years. I don't know if they've ever been consistently down as Jacksonville has been down, but I don't want to play the oppression Olympics when it comes to whose team has been worse. Yes, if you've been a Chiefs fan for a while, you have certainly been through a lot. You've come out on the other side like Andy Dufresne. You deserve all the success that you are currently having right now with your football team. Maybe Jacksonville will one day get to experience the joy that you have with your football team, but no, you guys have definitely been through it if you have been a Chiefs fan for any number of years. I'm sitting here looking at it right now. I mean, from 1998 until 2003, they didn't have a winning record. I mean, you guys have been through some things. 07 to 09, they won 4 games, 2 games, and 4 games. It was some bad times in Kansas City, for sure.
I mean, it's been bad times, but, like, I guess where it's different is, like, the Jaguars, their number one overall pick, got the quarterback. Now, we can have a conversation of if he's the quarterback or just a quarterback, but the Chiefs got a left tackle. Like, it feels like the Jags have been through harder times because the Chiefs have come out the back end where the Jags are still kind of toiling away in mediocrity a little bit.
I mean, the Jags had back-to-back number one overall picks. I mean, that's tough. That's tough to do. You had a prolonged stretch of being the worst team in the National Football League. Do you see it the exact same way, Rob, right now? Where, let's say that we polled 10 people. Hey, who do you think right now is the best team in the National Football League? I really think you would get 6 or 7 answers. If the Chiefs play well and dominate today, they will be in the conversation of the best team in the National Football League. I don't think that they are. Like, I wouldn't put them number one on my power ranking. But you definitely could make the argument that the Chiefs, with their defense, getting Rashee Rice back, that right now the Chiefs are the best team in the league if they go out and really handle today's game. But you look at some of the other options. Philadelphia is certainly still in the conversation. Detroit, who's coming to Kansas City on Sunday, they're in the conversation. Buffalo is still in the conversation. Like, there are 5 or 6 teams right now that I think at least have a claim on, we think we're the best team in the NFL right now.
This is what the NFL wants, and what the NFL fans tell me what makes the NFL great. There is true parity this year in the NFL. Like, I think I know who the good teams are. Like, if you were to strap me up and say, Rob, identify the good teams, we're going to give you like a shock of voltage. I think the Lions are really good. I think the Chiefs are good. I do think the Bills are good, despite losing yesterday. Like, I think I can identify the good teams. But after the good teams, I think there's a ton of I don't know teams, to your point. Like, the Jags and the Packers, which one of them is better? Do I think the Packers are better? Yes. Do the Jags have a better record? I mean, yeah. Are the Jags light years worse than the Packers? Not really. Like, there's a lot of those teams where you're like, oh, I think they're good. And then you start to kind of examine their resume. You kind of think about them more. You go, actually, I don't know. I think we have a couple good, a lot of who knows, and a lot of bad at the bottom.
Yeah, I don't know if we can play that resume game just for any team. For example, Kansas City. Kansas City right now is 2-2 and looks like they could possibly be the best team in the league. Like, they're trending in that direction. I mean, their wins are against the Giants and the Ravens. I think those are two of the bottom 8 teams in the National Football League. I just think we're at this point right now where there are so many teams that are in the middle or feel like they are trending on that side. I feel like right now you could poke a hole in just about any team's resume if you really, really want to. Philadelphia was 4-0, and no one felt really strongly about Philadelphia, and they were undefeated. It's just one of those kinds of years in the National Football League. Now, it always gets sorted out, and we obviously have a long way to go until we get there. I think Buffalo's still the best team in the National Football League. I think Detroit's the second best team in the league right now, and we can kind of go from there. But if you had a completely different hierarchy of how you would do this, I certainly wouldn't fault you. A couple of weeks ago, the Chargers had won all three games in the AFC West. They were a top five team on everybody's list, and now they've lost their next two games. I just think that's the kind of season that this is going to be. It's just going to be up and down, and you're just going to have to make evaluation on how you feel about teams.
I think that how is going to be evaluation by feel is going to last a lot longer this year than the average year. Because you're right. Me and you don't usually play the schedule game until closer to middle of the season. We have a little more data. I think it's going to be week 10, 11, 12 before the schedule game becomes a thing, because you can so easily poke holes in it. Like, we don't follow the Colts the same way an AFC South person like Ryan Green does. Ryan Green had Indianapolis's resume ready to go. Hey, they've done this, but it's fraudulent. Watch out for X, Y, and Z. I think we can do that with a lot more teams in the NFL this year than ever before.
Coming up on the other side, we'll get you ready for the Chiefs pregame show. We are off a little bit early today. We'll get you ready. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
This is Wyatt Thompson from K-State, and you're listening to The Drive with CDOT right here on 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Let me tell you guys that Sports Talk on 96.5 The Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays in the NFL on CBS and also Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. So Ryan Green, who covers the Jacksonville Jaguars, he just gave us this new little tidbit in the last segment.
I don't know where you were in life, November 8th, 2009, but that's the last time the Jaguars beat the Kansas City Chiefs. 16 years since Jacksonville beat Kansas City. The Chiefs have won 7 in a row, including that playoff game, obviously, in January of 2023. But the Jaguars have put some streaks to bed as of late. I mean, the Texans had come in here and won 9 out of 10 in Jacksonville before 2 weeks ago.
I was in college November 8th of 2009. Rob, where were you at November 8th of 2009?
I was a freshman at the University of Kansas in November of 2009.
You got there right after the chip, man. After the chip.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I got to see a Final Four in my time. A lot of Missouri fans never experienced that in their time at their school.
Why? Was there a reason for that? There was no reason for that.
You're right. K-State fans also didn't get to experience that.
That also was unnecessary. There's no reason.
I'm equal opportunity hate back here. Ruse fans, you've never experienced the tournament, so you get it.
Y'all go on the road and get one win. You feeling yourself a little bit. You feel like you can raise your hand this week in the college football roll call.
And stupid Chiefs Monday night game ruined our opening segment by a lot.
Yeah, we had to get to it. You know, the text line be real mad when you start with that when a team didn't win. They be real mad. I didn't want no issues with the text line today. So I had Rob pull this. November 8, 2009. What was the number one song in the country the last time Jacksonville beat the Chiefs?
Tell me, girl, what you say.
I know you were at the Hawk, dancing completely out of rhythm.
To what you say,
Jason Derulo?
Is Jason Derulo a two Americas?
No, who doesn't love Jason Derulo?
He seems like one of those songs. I've been out with you before. There are certain songs come out, and you're like, it's time to go. It's time to call tonight. I feel like there's Jason Derulo, like Riding Solo came on now. I feel like that might be in your pantheon of it. Time to eject.
Yeah, I'm just saying is at this point in my life, if I'm at a place where they're playing I'm Riding Solo, I just probably shouldn't be there. That's just not the kind of function that I feel like I need to be at. That's not where I want to be. But back in 2009, a little Jason Derulo. Yeah, of course. Who had a problem with Jason Derulo? That was the number one song the last time that Jacksonville beat the Chiefs. Here was the number one movie the last time that this happened.
Deliverance. You see number 74? Well, that's my son. Way to go, bro.
Okay, here's what we got.
Dead ball foul.
Now what? Was he holding?
No.
Did he hit after the whistle?
I don't believe so.
Then what was the flag for?
I don't know. Excessive blocking.
You're kidding me. Sorry, Coach. I stopped when I heard the whistle.
Where were you taking him, Mike?
To the bus. It was time for him to go home.
The Blind Side is one of those movies that if you're talking to somebody and it comes up and you're like, man, I love that movie. And the other person says, it's okay. I don't know if I want to be around you. Like, I don't know if we're simpatico. I don't know if we're on the same page. Who doesn't love the movie The Blind Side? It's a phenomenal movie. Great film. Love it. Two thumbs up. I know Sandra Bullock got nominated. Did she win for her role in that
movie?
That's
a great question.
Because she was phenomenal. A+.
Is that the best white savior movie?
You said it. I wasn't going to bring it up.
It's a fair question.
My favorite is Freedom Riders. That's my favorite. I love that movie. Good Hillary Swank.
By the way, Sandra Bullock won Best Actress for her role in The Blind Side.
I knew she got nominated. I just couldn't remember if she won or not. I'm happy you asked that question. I wasn't going to ask. I was thinking it, but I wasn't going to ask the question. I don't want text line mad at me, so I'm happy you brought it up. Is that your favorite? That's probably a lot of people's favorite.
Yeah, I'd probably say it's my favorite. Yeah. By the way, just to connect the conversation we had earlier, text line who loves to tell us how hard a time Chiefs fans had. When the Chiefs lost that game in 09, they were 1-7.
Okay.
The game that Ryan Green referenced, when the Jags last beat the Chiefs in 2009, the Chiefs lost in Jacksonville 21-24, dropping their team to 1-7.
The text line is bringing up the lawsuit and stuff. Yeah, I mean, I know that, but you don't got to ruin the movie for me. I'm here for the entertainment. Yeah, I'm sure they made up parts. I'm certain that happened.
I mean, doesn't Disney do that with all their movies?
Titans. The whole movie makes it seem like Michael Orr had never played sports until this family took him in, and then he became the greatest athlete of all time. Somebody said, what about Hardball? Hardball definitely good in this conversation. 100%. I'm telling you, I just love Freedom Riders. I really do. Hillary Swank goes in there, teaches the kid rap, poetry, saves their life. Oh, it gets me every time.
Does Green Book count?
I've never seen that before. I feel like we're actually at our limit at a capacity, and I don't know right now in the current climate. I don't know if we would take too well to these kind of movies anymore. I don't know. I think we ran out of these. I don't know who wants this on either side right now. Like, I'm not sure if either America right now is like, man, you know what we really need? That's all we need. We need a movie about a white teacher that goes into the city to help these kids. I think we got them all. Like, I would just go back in the archives and just find the movie that you think fits that category, the mood that you have. Somebody said, what about The Help? I haven't seen The Help in a very long time. Classic, though. I do remember it was very good when I saw it. I don't remember.
I have no recollection. I know it won a bunch of awards. I don't have any recollection of The Help.
Somebody said Criminal Minds. I think you mean Dangerous Minds with Michelle Pfeiffer.
Criminal Minds, the television show, would be a wild pick.
Dangerous Minds. Yeah, no. Dangerous Minds, which is basically Freedom Riders. It's the same movie. No, it's the exact same movie. Ooh, somebody said Glory Road. That's a good one. I love Glory Road. That is a really, really good movie. All right, we'll be back tomorrow after the game. Go Chiefs. Have a great rest of your Monday. Take care of yourself. It's The Drive.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.